government.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out an all-points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention!
World order.
Attention!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Stronghold Radio. It is, what is today? Today's a Wednesday, the 29th of June, 2011. June's almost over. We got one more day left, I think. Let me look at this little tiny calendar. Yes, that's right. I am Dutch Jones, your humble host, trying to do what I can to stay on the air. As of right now, we're going to be on about an hour a day because we just haven't had the donations come in to keep paying for the internet, so we've had to go down to the lower tier. We're still behind about $46, but IC Freedom just stepped up and said he's going to send in some funds, so we appreciate that. Bless you, IC Freedom. Well, we've been talking about all kinds of stuff this week. Yesterday, we didn't get a chance to hear from our buddy Steve Klein from Code 20, but at the last minute, he called in. He could have been on, but we cut it short, but he's with us today. Are you there, Steve?
I'm here, and I'm all excited about what you guys are doing up there at the Church of Kaweah and just expanding the kingdom of God and kicking Satan's butt right back into the gates of hell. Hoorah! I like what you guys are doing.
Yes, we finished our flyers. We're going to do a mass mailing here in a couple days for Man Camp, or as Lou called it, he called it the testosterone bivouac. And we were at lunch, and he's trying to keep. He goes, "What's another word for camp?" And I go, "Bivouac." And he goes, "Let's call it the testosterone bivouac."
That's cool.
So we've been getting ready for that. The Rangers are ready. I've been putting together in my head the training doctrine that we're going to do. Steve's been putting together in his head the stuff. And you may ask yourself, why are you guys doing this? This sounds bizarre. A Christian man camp? Well, the state of the Christian male. Why don't you make a few comments on that, Steve? What is the state of the Christian male in America today?
Let's see. I think there's Dutch and me and Pastor Warren Campbell and, let's see, Lou. Now, it's pretty interesting. Basically, you walk into the fact I was thinking about that. The church today does not understand their jurisdiction. They've stepped outside of their jurisdiction, and they think because they are not granted the sword, that they're going to take away the sword from those who are given the sword, the civil magistrate and the military. So I think that the church, you know, many people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. The church not understanding the sphere of sovereignty, that the church is supposed to administer the sacraments and to issue the sermons and things of that nature.
Church
they're not
discipline.
Granted the sword. Yeah, but they've clearly overstepped their boundaries, and so warriors like Dutch and myself and Aaron and Sergeant Myers, my son, we walk into a church, and Christians find out what we do for a living or what we do, what we believe in, and they go, "Oh, no, we're going to cut your testicles off, and then you can sing in the glee club with the little boys." Mm-hmm. And it's like, I think right now that we're into a revival and a reformation, and that what's happening is that the men are going to, because of Islam and the New World Order invading and destroying, raping and murdering our women, that the men are coming back in. Last night I was speaking in Torrance, Big Code 20, and it was about 70% women and about 30% older guys. But it was interesting, as I said, you know, gals, we need men. We need men to step up, and they were all nodding their head, yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And I just looked at them like, well, I didn't say anything, but I thought, you guys ushered in feminism, and you caused the problem yourself. But we all make mistakes, and I've noticed a lot of the ladies, my wife used to be a full-on feminist years ago, but she's just the opposite. She's the way a godly woman like Stacy and Mrs. Campbell now. So I think the church, not understanding their jurisdiction, they have taken away the sword improperly, and so we're suffering because of that. However, Dutch Jones, myself, the man camp, testosterone, bivouac, all of this stuff, I can see it coming back real fast. I can see it. With Islam out there harassing and killing us, I can see the men coming back real fast.
Yeah, and it applies to everything. I mean, you tell a Christian male that, hey, you have a duty to defend innocence and to fight for the cause and to defend your faith and your family. And you usually see in most of them, there's a little spark of manhood there that kind of gets flamed. Some of them, that, you know, it's been snuffed out and they don't care. But it's funny because usually if the husband and wife are standing there, the wife will be like, well, that just sounds too aggressive and that sounds too scary.
That's true. That's absolutely true. And that's sadly, that's feminism, because, well, let's take the same couple where she just said that's too aggressive and everything. So you get into a Larry Wick moment where the gal's going to be attacked and raped and brutalized. Then she's full on, oh, well, honey, aren't you going to protect me? It's like, no. Chopped off his cojones, and he can't do anything.
I'm turning my other cheek, honey. Honey, I'm turning my other cheek. Are you okay over there?
Exactly.
So there's a huge need for this, and I don't know. I sent you a link. I don't know if you saw it, about a news article down in the valley. There's a place down there. They're charging $400 for like 3 days to teach kids how to hunt and how to, you know, it's not a Christian oriented thing. It's actually academic. They're doing it at a school, which surprised me. And I'm like, you spend $400 to go blast some shotguns and get your hunter safety card. That's ridiculous. What we're doing, we're charging you $100. We're going to let you do some shooting on our standard shooting range. We're going to let you do some shooting on a tactical shooting range. We're going to Steve's going to teach some. I'm going to teach some on the ethics and the spiritual role that we're to play as men. And then we're going to talk about survival things. We're going to talk about how you can put into action your faith and your understanding of what it is to be a Christian male. Because if you can sit in a room in a little seminar and talk about it all day about how you're going to put on the full armor of God, but until you sweat a little bit and see what's actually needed of you and put actions to your thoughts, you're not going to know what it's like. I love it. And a lot of good men, they feel part of it. They go out and they work their fingers to the bone. They put up with, you know, nasty management and all that kind of stuff. But they don't go out of their way to do the other part of it. And that's what this man camp's all about. And that's what you're going to get for $100.
Yeah, for $100. And Pastor called me this morning. He's all excited. And I said, you know what, Pastor? You and Dutch do all the shooting and teaching on the shooting and all that stuff. I've done it so many times for so many years. I would prefer you guys to do it. I want to talk about the survival, battle planning, and the real-life stuff. That's why I want the volunteers, the hardy guys. There's a, you know, if you want to stay down below for the night or if you want to go up above with myself, I'm sure Lou's going to go up above too. And we'll just be up there with a poncho. No water. We're going to get the water out of the stream, put in water purification tablets. If you want to take some, what do you call those things, granola bars.
Energy bars
like that,
or something, yeah.
Energy bars. That's okay. I don't mind that. But I actually want the people to feel
stressed,
a little bit hungry, a little bit sweaty, a little bit dirty, a little bit, like, wow, this darkness stuff's kind of scary. I want them to get kind of a mild sense. Now, we're not going to have actual combat, obviously.
Not this camp,
nobody's going to be up there. Yeah, nobody's going to be up there shooting, and it's going to be pretty low-key and pretty easy going. But it's a good way to start, you know, baby steps, little steps. And then what I want to add into, the pastor thoroughly surprised me yesterday when he said he wanted to have asked do I know a combat medic for the October conference, and I said, gee, just happened to know one of the top medics in the history of the United States Army, and he'll be teaching 3 or 4 hours of combat first aid for the October outreach. And the whole deal is, Dutch and I are trying to explain, when you're tired, you're dirty, you're hungry, you're scared, you're, you know, down in the dumps, you're depressed, hey, welcome to the real world. Now somebody gets hurt, you got to take care of them. It's not time to whine and cry. Last thing Dutch and myself and a guy in a combat issue did not want to hear whining and crying. So it's little steps, and it'll be with fathers and sons, And we're not going to, it's not going to be like the old Marine Corps boot camp or the old Army Green Berets. It's going to be low key. It's going to be easy. You're going to be uncomfortable, and that's going to accomplish the first level.
And depending on how many people we have, you may pull up to an hour or two of guard duty. We'll show you how to set up a nighttime defensive position. And you'll be going, well, why would I ever need that? What if society falls apart and you have to bug out and you didn't plan, you didn't prepare, and all you have is you, your wife, and three kids, and you've got to get over some hills to put some distance between you and that scumbag city that you're living in, and you've got to teach your kids some noise and light discipline tactics, plus you as the male cannot stay awake 72 hours to protect them. So you've got to train your kids to pull guard duty and use touch to alert each other, to be aware of what sounds are out there, what's a normal movement. Now, this first camp, we're not going to do any force-on-force, but if we get a good enough response, the next one, we may unleash Lou and a couple other of the local boys out there with some airsoft and aggress your positions. See if they can find you. See if they can locate you. We want to get you basic. We want to show you traditionally what non-technical warriors have been doing for centuries. When they go out, and it may be fathers and sons, it may be next door neighbors with you. You've got to test yourself now before the real situation falls upon you.
Exactly, and we're going to go out real light, so nobody embarrasses them. Like Dutch and Pastor were telling me, these guys are carrying 400 pounds. You're on their back. They look like they'd walk through Pep Boys with a magnet and all this stuff they're carrying. It's like, No, you're going to have a poncho and a poncho liner. You're going to have you can carry some water or a canteen, water purification tablet. I'll let you take a gun up there as long as it's unloaded. I'll be the only loaded guy. Lou and myself will be the only two guys loaded, and that's just in case a wild boar or mountain lion shows up, but you can carry your gun up. We're going to do it real light, like Rogers Rangels. Yeah, we're going to do a light, really, really mega light infantry. Once again, we want you guys to feel a little bit of pain. You know, some bugs are going to bite you, some mosquitoes. It's like, you know, wake up, dude.
Yeah, so it's going to be about, and if you want to, you know, we'll get up there before it gets dark, and you may have to prepare your position. Make sure you're not laying down in a cow paddy or any other undesirable thing, but you've got to learn how to pick a location. And you always want to pick the location that looks like, hey, there ain't no way anybody's going to sleep in that thing. So that when they come looking for you, they won't hear it. Being able to control your bladder and your bowels so you don't have to sneak out of camp in the middle of the night. Being able to time yourself. I know these things sound rudimentary, but they are key to survival in a hostile environment.
You got your pants down around your ankles over a slit trench and an ambush erupts. It's rather embarrassing, to say the least. Obviously, it happens. We will take toilet paper up there.
Yeah, shovel.
I will bring a little shovel up there, and you can make your little slit trench and whatnot. But like Dutch said, basically, you know, just take a leak. You can hold poo overnight. No big deal. Just grow up, guys. No big deal.
I have to tell you a trick. I used to take Imodium before we went on patrol. Because even though they were like 24 or 48-hour patrols, I always knew Murphy's Law. So I'd load up on Imodium before I went out. And that way I'd never have to poo. Because my biggest fear was to be out there in the woods, everything's safe, and I got to go, and somebody just shoots me from, 300 yards away. So, and I had a moral code. I never shot anybody going to the bathroom. I always waited until they were done.
What a gentleman. My stuff was always nighttime, so I never had that happen.
Yeah, if you came upon them, you probably didn't know what they were doing anyway. So, yeah, in the middle of the night. Go ahead.
You had a great idea on the committees of correspondence, and this stuff, a lot of people don't think in terms of battle planning, communications is absolutely essential. So you and I were discussing, and I talked to the pastor about it too, and then you came out and said, the committees of correspondence, so where we're going to break emails and transmit the letters so that if we got to mail out bulk mailing of 2, 3, 4, 500, 1,000 letters as this thing grows, mm-hmm. we'll break it down into groups. So go ahead and talk about that a little bit. That's really important in this.
Yeah, what we do, when you get this flyer that we're sending out, and if you want to get the flyer, you have to email me your address or give me your email, and I can electronically send it to you. It'll save us 44 cents because Steve's going to put out over $100 and some dollars for this first mailing to go out to 200 people that we have that are interested parties, and I've already emailed it to several of you, the listeners, because I already have your emails on the Facebook. I posted it, and we'll probably put it up on our website. But take that flyer, reproduce it any way you see fit, stick it up in your church lobby, take it to the gun club that you go to, put it up at work. You've got some buddies you think you want to come out to California. We can do this every month if we have to. You don't like the heat? I mean, right now it's beautiful out. It's 75 degrees and cloudy, and it was actually raining earlier. But when we do this in coming up on, what, 4 weeks now, it may be 105 out here. It's going to test your abilities, and we'll be watching you. I've been, you know, doing this for a long time. You don't have to worry about dropping dead. If you've got some severe disabilities, we may make we'll let the fat guy sleep in the park along with me or something. I don't know. It depends. Hopefully we won't get any. But we want everybody to come, and it's not going to test you that much. But it might be nice to come out in the middle of January when it's 15, 20 degrees out here and do the same thing with a different set of parameters. So you send these cards out, these flyers that we're putting out, and you build this. You come here to train with us, and then you build your team by inviting others along.
Exactly. So you'll create your own team, your own committees of correspondence. You'll be responsible for having your fire team and your squad, a four-man fire team, squad of 12, and then a squad leader. And we'll eventually try to get some medics and things of that nature and work this all together so that human beings survive not by doing alone. We survive by being teams. We build hamlets and villages and cities and communities, and we all work together, especially under the Green Lake Christian motif. And so that's all we're really going to do. You're just going to go from an urban area into a wilderness area, and then back again. There's no reason at all why we can't do it in an urban area.
Yeah.
If you live in a major city like Fresno or New York or something like that, then you get trapped and caught in there. Then, you know, like we were laughing about it a couple of months ago, you start walking across the street in downtown Los Angeles or New York in a full-on ghillie suit, people are going to just be laughing at you.
Learn your environment and optimize your needs and your abilities in that environment. Because the neat thing about this man camp concept is, you know, there are other people up here doing it, and that's why I stole it from them. They're doing it over at Hume Lake, this big Christian facility about 40 miles away on the other side of the park. But what they do is they teach you how to be courteous to girls, which is nice. They teach you how to respect your parents. They let you shoot a couple arrows with some archery. They show you how to start a fire. And then you sleep in these prefabricated tent structures that they have around the lake. They let you go on a canoe ride. You sing Kumbaya. All good stuff, but that's like one step in a marathon that Christian men need to be taking part in. So I heard that, and I said, well, that's really great that some churches in Fresno are doing that. And I went to the pastor. I said, we need to do a real man camp, you know. And I could totally see this going to the point where, like, and, you know, I know some people are going to say, well, that's a bit much. We do it like the Jungle Warfare Training School in Panama. They give you a rabbit, a K-bar, and they tell you to go survive for 3 days, and they send the villagers after you. You know, we could adapt it to something like that.
We ain't giving them a rabbit.
Yeah.
We ain't giving them a rabbit.
They
got to
get their own rabbit.
They get their own steak. Hey, for 3 days, nobody's going to die.
Exactly. I think the rabbit thing was just to get you to have to keep something alive, and then the last day you got to cook it and eat it. But
that's funny.
Yeah, so there's all kinds of opportunities with this. So we're asking folks to take part in the ground floor of it, be part of it. If you take part in this and you do really well, we may ask you to come back and be an instructor in the next one and help us out that way.
Absolutely.
Plus, it's a recruiting tool for us in Code 20 and here at the Camp Kahwea. We're looking for Christian men that are willing to become righteous again and to fulfill the full sphere of their jurisdiction of being a Christian male, father, brother, you know, grandfather, whatever, big brother. You know, we call this man camp bring your son out, but if you don't have a son, go borrow a nephew. Go borrow a cousin. Take your little brother. You can come alone if you're a male. That's fine. You're going to pay the same price. But if you've got, like I got one guy, Rocky, he's got a good friend that's got three or four teenage kids. I said, grab one of those teenage boys. It'll teach you how to, he's recently married, Rocky. I said, it'll teach you how to be a good dad. You know, grab somebody else's kid and bring them up, you know. So it'd be good.
One of the things that I'll be, when I do speak, and I'm not going to speak that long, but I'm going to speak on the book of Joshua. Mm-hmm. And Nehemiah and Revelations on why we have to fight, why we have to kill, and that it's a loving thing to defend our wives and children. So when people go back to their pastor and they and the pastor says, well, you have to turn the cheek, you can't fight back, then you'll have some biblical tools. Verses and some tools from history and from great theologians who actually fought in wars, and you can pass this along to your pastor. And frankly, if your pastor can't figure it out, maybe it's time you switch churches and go where the real men are.
Yeah, and we can help you find a church, too. We have the Black Robe Regiment listing on our website, and we can show you that when you come up here, and you can find a Patriot Church where men are allowed to be men. I still remember that one day. I can't remember what training it was. It was a long time ago. I don't know if it was a Code 20 or what, but the next day you came in, and the pastor let you get up and speak for 3 to 45 minutes or whatever it was, and there was this blonde, you know, dyed, bleach blonde, press on nails, you know, bimbo dress, and I'm going to say it, bimbo dressed blonde lady with a husband, and the husband had the baby and was standing behind me because he had to keep the baby quiet, and she was just furious. When you said the chickification of our nation, she was like shaking her head, and I was looking at the guy, and he's nodding his head yes, nodding his head yes. And then after the service, she goes, do you believe this guy? Do you believe what he's saying? And he's kind of like, yeah, I kind of liked it. She's like, no, you don't. And I just thought it was just hilarious to see that reaction. We're up against some vicious dynamics of womanhood here, and I'm going to call out the ladies in the audience. You have to provoke your men to take part in this. You have to be the woman that your husband needs to support him to be allowed to do these manly things, or he's not going to do it. We've gotten too fat, dumb, and happy in America as males, and it's hard for us to be motivated. You have to get out the poker and say, honey, you're doing this.
Yeah, it's for the girls. That's the thing that drives me nuts. What's with these girls that, you know, because it's coming, Islam is coming. Hold on just a second, Dutch. Go ahead and take over.
Sure, I can fill in, no problem. So when you're doing this, you know, talk to your wife, your you know, your girlfriend or whatever that you're making part of your life, and do whatever it takes to pray on this, and realize that you're coming here to be a better man, to be a protector, to be a provider. We're going to show you the biblical doctrine that requires, demands that you be a man, demands that you be willing to sacrifice your life if need be to protect your family and innocent blood throughout the world even, not just your family, but you're called as a Christian male. Now, today, sacrifice means working overtime, missing your kid's baseball game to make sure those reports come in. It's ridiculous. They've hoodwinked the American male. And here's your chance to go get some dirt under your fingernails, sit around with some men in the dark and whisper stories and come up with plans and look up at the stars. You know, and it's going to be real mild this first time. You get to put your hands on a firearm and see what it feels like, especially people that have never fired before. It's going to be amazing for you. Then what we're going to do, we're going to have like a competition. Two men, one weapon. They have to go through a timed course locating and engaging targets with this airsoft M4 that we have. They're very realistic. And you'll go through our Bravo range, where we'll have hidden targets in the trees, and we'll time everybody, and the winning team will get some kind of prize. The pastor and I are trying to figure out what it would be, where, you know, maybe we'll give some gear away or, you know, money off of another coupon off for another training session or something like that. But you're not going to get the I looked around the world. I Googled man camp and looked at stuff. You're not going to get this kind of training anywhere else. You could go somewhere and pay $4,000 to an escape and evasion school in Las Vegas. And, you know, and go and do everything. But we're going to give you the buffet version of it as we go month to month. And here's your chance to start with us and hang out with us and fellowship with us.
Build your own team. Build it up. Get this all stuff put together so that you understand you work. The teamwork concept makes the American military, bar none, the best in the world it's ever been. Unbelievable because our teamwork. And it goes back to the Christian concept of, a man who does not take care of his family is worse than an infidel, 1 Timothy 5:8. Very, very important. And so that's what we're going to be concentrating on. And we're going to take it step by step. And frankly, if you're nervous or scared, it's no big deal. Dutch and I are very polite. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to put you down. I know it's hard to believe, but once upon a time, Dutch and I were scared and nervous on this stuff too, but we took it. Well, how do you eat an elephant? One step at a time. How did we get up to the level where we've finally gotten to where almost nothing bothers us no matter what? It's just one step at a time. And one thing, I know Dutch is the same way. I have a rule of thumb. If I'm scared to do something, you know, something reasonable, like to go out on the street and take on the Muslims, not something stupid like jumping out of an airplane without a parachute, that to me, that's not manly. It's fun, but I'm not trying to put that down. But if I'm afraid of something, then I just tell myself, decision's made, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
I'm doing it because once you chicken out, then it's just like negative muscles. You start losing it fast.
Yeah.
And so that's a rule of thumb. Dutch and I will work with anybody as long as you're willing to be patient. Even if you panic, we'll work you through it. No big deal. We've been there, done that, seen it all. And so don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed if you've never gone out into the wilderness or country.
This is the safe
place
to do it.
We're not going to laugh at you.
No.
We would be complete jerks if we let – no, we are not going to laugh at you because there's things that you do that Dutch and I don't know, and you could embarrass us real quick, but we're not going to do that. We are Christian men. We're going to work with you and your son. So get your fanny out there and do it. No excuses.
Well, the whole purpose, if you've ever been through any Code 20 presentation, we're doing this out of agape love, fulfillment of the law. You know, we're trying to love other Christian men so that they can go home and love and protect their families for, you know, the way they're supposed to. So it's not to come up here and show you how cool I am because I can shoot better than your average person. No, the point of it is we want you to come up here. The class that we teach on the range is so that you can shoot a variety of weapons and decide what weapon it is you're going to go get to protect your family because you best know the needs of your family. We're giving you knowledge. We're giving you an exposure to these things so you don't have to go, oh, well, that wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. I love it when we had the open classes and it didn't matter. We had those three little Jewish ladies come up that had never fired a gun. Remember that?
Yeah, it was funny.
And they fired everything from little 22 Derringers up to, I don't think they fired your 44, but they were firing 9 mils and my 45, and they just, they were amazed. And what we did is we empowered them. And we didn't make fun of them because they didn't even literally did not know which end of the gun the bullet came out. They didn't understand any of the physics. They didn't understand terminal ballistics. But by the end of that class, they understood. And some of them were like, well, we're going to go get a gun now. And I'm like, great, but you need to do more training. But it takes away their fear. It takes away their misunderstanding. And when you don't have fear, you can do just about anything.
Dutch, you nailed it. When those ladies, you're absolutely right. There's a couple of men, too.
Yeah, yeah.
You and I are very respectful, very kind. We did not smirk. We did not laugh. We did not smile. We just said, okay, no problem. Let's take it one step at a time.
We'll meet you where you're at.
We'll meet you where you're at. A couple of them, I think, I'm not sure, was any of them too afraid to pull the trigger? I think they were all okay.
No, everybody fired except for our phony Vietnam flyer. He refused to fire a gun because I don't think he knew how to.
Phony baloney, the biggest talker, the biggest mouth in the group, and we weren't rude to him either.
No.
We were not happy with him, but we were respectful, and we took him aside in private and said, you know, this is not working out. But we offered to give him his money back, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I was.
We will be polite to anybody.
Yeah. And the key thing is that we're here. The first thing we're here to do is to fellowship with other Christian men, and to learn from them and to impart what we know to them the best we can, and hopefully that we'll build this network. Now I see, you know, I was looking over the list. A lot of the folks are from this area. We've got people as far away as, you know, the Carolinas and Georgia that we're going to send this flyer to. You don't know who's going to show up, but could you imagine if we got, even in every state, we got just one group that would start doing this kind of thing. They come here, they figure it out, they get, you know, a couple fathers and sons check out with us, and they go back to their church and they plant a seed. That's, you know, that's our goal here with this man camp. I'd love to see, and I don't even care if they acknowledge that we started it, but Christian churches need to empower their men and unleash the manhood that lies in the heart of every Christian male, and that's why we're doing this. So we're not here to stroke egos or anything, and, you know, if you do something unsafe, we'll correct you, and it's very controlled. It's almost impossible for anybody to get hurt because we're standing right there when you're firing, and we've got enough range people between me and Vince and Lou and everybody else. It's going to be a safe, both physically and emotionally, and spiritually challenging, I hope. I hope it'll be spiritually challenging. It won't even be physically challenging, because if you know, you can't make it up the trail, we have a rule. You're only as strong as your weakest link. We'll move as slow. In fact, anybody that's ever done any patrolling will know it takes forever to get to your destination when you're doing it under stealth. So we'll go slow. We'll move into the position. We'll continue to teach while we're on site. And when the stars come out, you know, we'll do that nighttime navigation thing. It's going to be a blast.
It'll be a lot of fun. We're going to incorporate, as we're there, talking about how to prevent the Muslims and Islam overwhelming and destroying our families. It's going to happen.
Oh.
Because when they reach 20%, Dutch, as you know, you've seen that video about 400
yes.
times now.
Yeah.
When the Muslims hit 20%, they declare war on the host country. I was talking last night, and there was a number of Israelis in the group, and they all were nodding their head. Yeah, you're absolutely right. So it's coming. Might as well learn it now while they're less than 20%. And while, you know, no, it's safe, and we're fellowshipping. Rule number one, fellowship. Rule number two, fellowship. Number three, yeah. Number four, number five, fellowship. You're going to have a lot of fun. Come on up.
Well, just to give you an idea, what was that? Let's see, did you go off? No, you're still there. I heard a loud beep. Oh, somebody sent me a message. What's that? I couldn't read it. I'm getting text messages on the phone. Don't text message me while we're on the air, especially when we have a guest on. Use the chat room. But, yeah, it's all around us. Sharia law is coming. The imam in the White House is allowing it. They just allowed a major project in downtown Washington, D.C., several blocks. This Saudi Arabian investment company is opening a mall, and they're going to enforce Sharia law in the mall. No banks, no interest, no alcohol. Of course, they won't allow Christians or Jew businesses probably to go in. And it's happening. United Airlines made an agreement with Saudi Airlines. So now if you have an Israeli passport, Christian memorabilia on you, you can't get on a United Airlines plane to the Middle East now. So it's already happening. So people are saying, oh, you're overreacting to a non-threat. It doesn't have to be 9/11. It's by creep and by small little bites that they're going to take this country. So we have some time now. It will get to the point where we won't have any time and we won't be able to offer you these classes. So it's imperative that you take the opportunity now while you still can.
Yeah, we got solutions up front, not after the fact. Los Angeles Police Department got a federal grant. They're going to pay out $50 million to Muslim leaders to teach them how to live in a democracy.
Yeah, yeah.
How to live in a democracy, that means they're going to put Sharia over the top of us. We're going to talk about how that works, how you can recognize the Muslim terrorists in your neighborhood, how you can actually work around it and develop your own group, not to hurt them. But when they finally do erupt and start killing people, how to take your team that you organized through the Church of Kauai and keep them from raping and brutalizing and murdering your wife.
Yeah, we're being sold out, and don't count on any agency, you know, from the government to be there to protect you when this threat breaks. So if anything else, let that motivate you. Look at what's going on around the world. Look at what's going around you know, in different Christian communities. I mean, I was just reading yesterday, the youth, and I can't remember what country it was because it's happening so much. They're burning churches and dragging Christians into the street and killing them. And that's the roadmap that they want to lay over the United States. So the more of us that are able to either just simply evade it first and then organize later, the more likelihood we have a chance of pulling out of this without becoming a Muslim nation. You know, we don't want to end up like Spain. Did, you know, in the second great jihad. That's why we do this. That's why, and we're applying the roadmap of the American Revolution, whatever we can, and to resist it. And it doesn't matter who's manipulating them. The fact of it is, if a shark comes after you, that shark's going to eat you. It doesn't matter if it was let out of the cage by a communist, a socialist, the New World Order. That shark is still going to eat you, and you still have to deal with the shark. Because there's no way you're going to look a Muslim in the eye and say, hey, brother, you're just being used by the New World Order. Hey, brother, can't we all just get along? It's really the rich corporations that are doing this. Hey, brother, you know, there's no reason for us to fight. It's not going to stop him from digging that machete into your face. Trust me, I've been in combat, and trying to negotiate at that point, it's all lost. you're not going to be able to do that. So that's not a skill we'll be teaching. I know it's easy, and this argument comes up every time we talk about it. The powers that be are going to do what they're going to do. Tell that to the people that were victims of the SS. Oh, well, Hitler's just a maniac, and he's using you against other white people. You know, why are you invading this country? We should all be getting along. That's not going to stop the SS soldier from putting his boot on your neck and shooting you in the face. So the reality of it is, rabid dogs are rabid dogs, and they got to be put down.
You know, that brings up a good point. Why don't we just defeat the son of a bitch?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I'm tired of people making excuses. I know you are, too. And they say, we can't win. Well, you know what? Go away.
Yeah.
If I get killed, Dutch gets killed, that's fine. We go to a better reward of it. For all you guys that say you give up, let's see. In the Bible, doesn't it say, well done, good and faithful servant? It says, occupy until Christ returns.
Yeah.
Luke 19:13, which is a military term. For, you know, okay, so it's Custer's last stand, so it's the Alamo. You're going to go out like a sissy? Don't want you. You want him, Dutch?
No. Especially if you're going to allow your women and children to be, your children to be enslaved, your women to be raped. If that's what you want, then you're not part of the Christian realm. No matter how much you pay to tithe every Sunday, no matter how much you study the Bible, if you're not willing to stand up against every single threat that comes against your family, you know, you're worse than a heathen. If you're not willing to stand in the gap and stop the horde from coming in, and it's not up to our government. It's not up to our military. It's not up to our police. It's up to you individually for your family and hooking up 3 to 5 families. The pastor last Sunday, he's pleading with our people, hook up 3 to 5 families. We have a few groups that are doing it in our church now because a lot of people in our church drive 70 miles to get here because we're a beacon on a hill. So it's not all the locals that come to our church. It's people from Visalia and Fresno and Southern California like Steve and stuff that drive hundreds of miles to get here. So everybody's got to hook up, link up, be moving in the same direction, and that's where it starts when we're going to be this, the 20, I always get the dates wrong on this.
22nd,
23rd, and 24th of July, Man Camp. That's where it starts. And you may say, well, why, you know, come in Friday night, you know, bring your regular camping gear, camp out Friday night so we can start early on Saturday. It's key. We got a lot of training to get in. And if we get a lot of people, the better it is that we get started early. Traditionally, we don't start our trainings till 10 o'clock. People start rolling in at 10:30. You've got to be here, you know, first thing, 8 a.m. So come in the night before. If you need to sleep in the church, we got places for you to sleep in the church. There's stuff like that. Saturday night's when you're going to be up on the hill, but all day Saturday we'll be on the range. Bring enough food that you can eat lunch. We may do an hour break, and you can run to the sandwich shop or something, but it'd be better if you bring some beans and weenies. You can heat up, and we can do a training over lunch. We'll show a video. Maybe we can dig up the Restrepo video. Maybe we can dig up the Defiance video, something like that, and show you some chunks of how people who have done it before us, people who are trying to do it now and failing, like with Restrepo. How they've forgotten the basics and things like that. So bring the food, bring a canteen, a way to carry it, bring some water purification tablets, a poncho, poncho liner if you want to be a little more comfortable to lay on because you're not going to need it to stay warm. It's going to be about 60 degrees at night. Let's see, what else did we say? You can bring some toilet paper, some granola bars, some energy bars, something like that. You don't want to use mosquito repellent because you know what that stuff smells like? And I can find a guy, if the wind's right, several, maybe even 100 yards away if they're wearing mosquito repellent. What do you say about that, Steve?
Well, I think you're right. For the first time, we'll probably allow them to use the inspect if they go
okay.
up above.
Okay.
We'll probably let them use the insect repellent the first time. I don't want to kill them. I can remember, look, I went on 240 ambushes, 240 nights in a row, and the one thing I remember is every morning, rain or shine, every morning waking up, and the mosquitoes had bitten us so much that we could barely open our eyes. Our faces are all puffy
right.
from the mosquito bites and everything. So I kind of I need a little bug juice, my friend.
Just get something that doesn't stink so bad. Yeah, that stuff smells. It almost, yeah. You know, brings back fond memories smelling it. It reminds me of being a kid camping. The bug juice that we got in the military was this lotion or a liquid that you couldn't smell. So, you know, just advice. Maybe I did raise the bar a little too much there, but
no, that's all right. Maybe
take some B12 vitamins or something, you know. Bring something that you can roll the sleeves down on, cover up.
Absolutely.
You know,
that's
get
the way
under
to the do it.
Get under that poncho so the skeeters can't get to you. You know, of course, when you and your son get home, be advised. You know, check yourself for ticks. It's not uncommon. I used to put dog collars on my ankles when I was in the jungles down in Central America. And, you know, little tricks like that. They tell their troops not to do it now, but I figure with depleted uranium and all the other chemicals, what's a dog collar going to hurt?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'll have a lot of fun. And this, just because we're only taking a poncho and a poncho liner doesn't mean I'll let you take a small knapsack, a small pack, and you can carry a sweatshirt and sweatpants in that.
Put on at night.
And, yeah, you can just put that on if you get cold at night. And it's just, you know, you just outthink the environment. You just sit down and take it easy. And it'll be a lot of fun. And, again, if people get there and they get a little nervous, a little scared, and they don't want to go up above and do it, we are not going to shame anybody. We're not going to laugh at anybody. It's just the opposite. We're just going to say, hey, no problem, just like King David did. When he went out with his mighty men in a battle once, they came to a brook, and about half of his men, they just said, we don't feel good. We don't want to go on. And King David said, hey, stay here. No problem. When we get back from the raid, we'll share the spoils of war with you. And he did. And his mighty men, they recovered and went on to glorious and wonderful battles. And we are not, we're there as Christian brothers to encourage, not to tear anybody down.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We want you to come back and do the next one. Do whatever we, you know, come up with in the next training, force on force, or, you know, maybe trapping animals or something. You never know what we're going to throw in because we've got such a huge group to draw from of people with different skills to be trainers. We can do a lot of different things. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. And remember, if you bring it in a pack, you got to carry it. So that's another training thing you might want to look at. You know, be able to live off the land. Steve mentioned Rogers Rangers. Just bring what you need. You know, don't overdo it. There's so many gadgets and you know, these luxury items that people throw in a pack, and next thing you know, they're 50% of their body weight's on their back. We had a rule in the Army, never more than 20 to 25%, and even that's excessive, you know. You just bring what you need. You know, stick a bunch of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and Ziplocs in your pants or whatever you got to do to keep moving. You can go a couple of days without eating and still function. But if you don't test yourself, you may never know that. You'd be surprised at things you could do. Yeah, we get up there before dark. We may go up on the hill and do an observation drill. I may pass around the binoculars and go, let's do some range estimation. And I'll break out the laser rangefinder and see how close you are, because that's key too. We may ask, you know, well, what can you see? How many homes do you see? Where are the power lines? Where's the main road? If someone was threat, you know, to come up that road, where would you go? We'll get you thinking in this paradigm of the warrior class, of the Christian warrior class, that'll trigger you to think when you're away from us the same kind of things. Give you some of the models that you should be running in your mind.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're going to talk about Mr. Burnham.
Oh, yeah.
And we might even go over there. Have you found his grave
yet?
Yeah,
it's hard. His monument is like he lived. It's big and it sticks out. You know, he was a short man. 5'3", and he didn't brag a lot, so his family probably wanted to brag for him. It's a big black monolith that's got brass plaques on it showing some of his achievements, you know, in Africa and Alaska, and his whole, you know, a group of about 9 members of his family. This guy, he loved his, like, his scout so much, one of the scouts is buried next to him from, you know, some of the things, and I don't mean Boy Scouts, I mean military scouts. And what I'll do is I'll put together a little slideshow, you know, some pictures of them, and you know, we can do that presentation, you know, real quick. And then maybe on one of the breaks we could, you know, I'll load everybody up into the SUVs and go over to the gravesite and pay honor to this guy, because, you know, it's hard to find somebody. He died in 1947. I can't find anybody after that that I would admire to the level of this guy. I really can't. I mean, there's I'm really, you know, I haven't studied everybody, but I'm at a loss to find somebody who did as much as this guy did and got no recognition for it, who fought like a Christian man in many different ways and got very little recognition for it. You know,
that guy's incredible.
Yeah, this guy needs to have a movie made about him, and maybe they just haven't found the right actor. I still can't find the movie in South Africa that has him in there a little bit when they're doing their movie on the Boer Wars. What was his first name, John? I always forget.
I think so.
Russell Burnham. Russell Burnham. Russell Frederick Burnham? Frederick Russell Burnham. Lou knows it. He, you know, fought on the wrong side in the Boer Wars, being that I'm Dutch. But great man. Was the inspiration for the Boy Scouts. Powell went to him and said, teach me what you know. This needs to be codified and transferred to our youth. He fought in Africa in several wars. I still love the story, and I'll never stop talking about it. When he was off fighting, his family was blockaded in their village by African warriors, and his three-year-old daughter died from starvation because of it. So when he came back from the war, he hunted down the chief that was responsible, crawled on his belly for hundreds of yards with his buddy, got into this chief's cave. He was like a witch doctor chief, waited for him to come in, and then blasted him with a Webley 44, and then fought another 100 tribesmen to get away. You know, killed the man that killed his daughter, you know, and didn't brag about it, you know, didn't, but if his friend hadn't been there, nobody would know about it.
Sounds like a real Christian thing to me, because it's blessed are the peacemakers, and by doing that, he sent a message to those people. If you come after my family, I will come after you. And that's today in the castrated, chickified, unmanly church, they all go, oh, that is so terrible. Well, then just you stand before Jesus and you just say, well, Jesus, I didn't think I could defend my family, my wife and my children, and yeah. I didn't think that I could go out and kill a man who murdered my daughter. And yeah. I think Jesus might not say, well done, good and faithful servant.
Yeah.
And I think that's where on a triage of where the church is the weakest, I would say it's on that subject. Taking the men, cutting off their testicles, and then trying to storm the gates of hell?
Yeah. Yeah.
Eunuchs? Gotta be kidding me.
Yeah. I mean, the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail, meaning they
right.
won't withstand our attack. That doesn't mean we're defending ourselves against gates that are coming after us. We're to be forward attacking. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us, meaning we attack the gates of hell. We tear them down wherever they are. And he's right. Unless we have the people that are willing to grab that battering ram and heave ho, that we're not gonna tear through those gates and destroy every enclave of evil on the planet Earth. We're here, like we said earlier, Steve said it, to occupy, a military term. So we're gonna highlight people. You know, in this next class, we'll do Frederick Russell Burnham. Lou put the Wikipedia link in there for people who haven't heard the story before. Highly encourage you to check it out. So we're going to celebrate Christian manhood. We're not going to beat drums, go kumbaya, and shake and rattle around a campfire and scream therapy. It's going to be really subtle. Really, you know, the loudest thing will be the firearms. And we're just going to let you see the man that God has called you to be.
Amen.
And
amen. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a little discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a little scary. It's going to be a first-time deal. We're not going to be drill instructors. We're not going to, shell shock you or anything like that. We're just going to say 1, 2, 3, ABC, this is how you do it.
Yeah.
If you don't want to do it, we'll just say, fine, here's your money back. See you later. We're not going to call you names, not going to embarrass you, nothing. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be a great deal. And, yeah, you get to meet some really great warriors. You get to meet Dutch and Pastor Campbell, Lou, myself, and you'll be able to organize, take from ground zero, put together I kind of jumped ahead of myself, but
sure.
We'll work it all through, because believe me, and Dutch knows, we both know, these monsters from hell, they're here for a reason. I think they're here to cause the men to quit being sissies and become real men again.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I think Islam is here.
Well, look at the Old Testament. God destroyed all the enemies of Israel except for a few tribes so that the people of Israel would not forget how to wage war. It's in the Bible. I can't remember the verse off the top of my head, but he kept aggressive tribes around both to spank Israel and to keep the men sharp. And if you want to approach it that way, God wants you to partake in this battle. God is calling you. He doesn't smite the Muslims because he knows you're weak and he needs you to grow into the full potential that he has called you to. So maybe that's a paradigm you should get. It's part of God's will, you know, to allow these Muslims to do what they're doing, because he knows otherwise we would be like a little lily in the field and wither and fade away. That's not what he wants. He wants us to be mighty trees and withstand the forces of nature and the onslaught of the oncoming scourge of fire and things that are being put forth ahead of these Muslims as they conquer the world. So yeah. You want to be part of God's plan, or do you want to ignore the call?
Yeah. I believe that Nelson Espiritu, whose father was a Filipino guerrilla, and a lot of people don't know how good the Filipino guerrillas were against the Japanese. The Filipino guerrillas were, believe me, they're as good as Green Berets, Marine Recon, Navy SEALs. Those guys are the real deal. One of the guys that'll be up there, his father was a Filipino guerrilla in World War II. And I believe his son's only 7 years old, and I'm pretty sure he's going to bring his 7-year-old boy up there. I don't see any problems with that. I think his kid can go up to the top. You know, if I have to put him on my shoulders and carry him, I'll do it. I'm 60 years old. I'll do it. No big deal. Let's just get up there, man up, and do it.
Now, it's funny because people say, well, there's really no threat. Did you know that I don't know if I sent you this link or not. Bill Gates has put, you know, some of his wealth behind building madrasas in America. He wants to teach Muslims in America how to, like you said, blend in, be part of the system, and they're going to get federal funds too. They're going to get federal matching funds to open their little madrasa schools.
That basically, to me, that says the federal government and Bill Gates has declared war on you and me, on us, all of us.
It's a traitor.
On America. Islam is here for one reason, to destroy us. And for folks who still think that the New World Order is in charge of Islam, okay, I'll give you the argument. So the Muslims, like Dutch said, it doesn't matter if they're Muslims or commies or Nazis. When they come to kill you, if the New World Order is in charge of them, they're going to kill you just as fast as if they're not. So might as well learn it now. Learn the lesson and start with a Code 20 and start working this stuff together, the Church of Kauai. Put it together, organize, and once again, we are created as a group to work as a team, and that's the only way really to defeat Islam, and the best way to do it, survival of the fittest, is the Christian motif, the rules of engagement based on the Ten Commandments, the two great commandments, and agape is the fulfilling of all law. And like Russell Burnham, you want to come and murder my daughter and my wife over my dead body? And if I'm not there and you do murder my wife or my daughter, I will hunt you down and kill you. I think Jesus Christ would say, well done, good and faithful servant. Yeah. I don't think Jesus is really interested in Joel Osteen and the Sissies. I really don't think he's interested in them.
No, and that's part of the – I honestly believe that's part of the enemy's plan. When I say the enemy, I mean Satan, and because he's obviously behind all of this, in my opinion. I mean, men do willingly play a part, but – out of greed and lust and things like that. But the American megachurch is the biggest farce that's ever attacked Christianity. I think it's almost as dangerous, if not more in some ways, than the threat of Islam taking over America. Because
Absolutely.
What's worse, coming out right at me and telling me we're going to kill you, or lying to me, telling me you're going to help me, and then poisoning my faith, poisoning my family, poisoning my way of life slowly with lies and deceit and deception that the mega churches have done. I go, you know, it's like somebody said, yeah, I went to one of those big mega churches, and everybody was there but God. <You know?
laughs> and the manly men.
Yeah.
Throw,
you know,
throw God out, you're going to end up with unmanly. They're not men, unmanly males.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why homosexuality has grown so rapidly in the United States. The church has kicked the real men out of the church.
Yeah.
And now what are you left at? You're left with Chris Lom and all this other crazy stuff that's going on.
Oh,
so
yeah, that was this week, wasn't it?
July, July 20, 22, 23, 24, it's only $100. If you've got 47 sons, then it's only $100.
Yeah.
We'll work with you on there. We want you to, you know, because we need to find it cost me a couple hundred, $300 or $400 to come up there. Dutch needs a few bucks, and Worker is worthy of his pay. So
yeah, and we're trying
for the holy cause of liberty.
Yeah, let me tell you something. A lot of the money that we've made from these classes, we've used them to improve the shooting ranges.
Exactly.
We're turning. The pastor took the money from Code 20 and hired a backhoe operator for a couple hours. You know,
amen.
He took the money from some, you know, from Code 20, and he resurfaced the range with DG so that it would be. I kind of like standing in mud on the range, but he wanted to make it a little more polite. So that's good. You know, so it goes back into the cause. And don't forget, guys, you know, you're always welcome. You know, in fact, I can't require it, but I wish that after the training you stick around for church on Sunday. You're going to get a sermon that you wouldn't see anywhere else. Stick around. We do filter out idiots, morons, and stuff. You know, if I get somebody, I'm going to be honest with you, if I get somebody that wants to be in this class, it turns out he's Christian Identity or something, and I can figure it out, I'm just going to say, no, thanks, not for you. You know, I get some skinhead or Nazi scumbag, I'm going to say, no, it's not for you. We get somebody that puts on women's clothing on weekends, and we can figure it out. We're like, no, it's not for you. We don't want any, you know, we're not all-inclusive. We're not, you know, it's not about, hey, let's love everybody. No, let's love those that are called to serve the Lord, and you can tell it by the way they live their lives. You know, that they can come to church and do other things. That's the pastor's job, to try and help these broken minds. Not ours. Our job is to train good Christian men. We need recruits, not fodder.
Just like Gideon, we are more interested in finding those who really, truly want to be part of expanding the kingdom of God. We don't want screwballs, lunatics, and insane people. We just don't want them. And once again, we will be polite. We will be firm. If people show up and they're doing some weird stuff, then we'll take them aside and just say, you know what, here's your money. Why don't you just leave? And no problem. Now, if they try to stick around, then we'll just arrest you. We'll have the sheriff take you away for
criminal trespassing.
And, yeah, we're not going to fool around. This is serious stuff. It's a done deal. They're already here. They're at 1% right now. And we have documented cases where they marry one chick in their mosque, or under a civil arrangement, so it's recognized by the state, and then they go to the mosque and they marry three more, then they go on welfare, and they use the welfare system to raise these, you know, 12, 14, 15, 16 children under one guy. So from 1% to 20% is not going to take very long. And once they hit 20%, as Dutch and I will tell you, we have seen the statistics, we know it. We've faced it face-to-face. Dutch went and saw them in Visalia.
Yeah.
We've seen it. Once they hit 20%, it's no more talk. It's Katie bar the door. They're going to kidnap your wife and your daughter. They're going to rape your wife and your daughter. They're going to get your wife and your daughter pregnant and just add them to the harem and use it all to destroy the church. And frankly, if the men don't want to reattach the testicles, then God, just like he got rid of the... Remember when they left... The Jews left Israel, and for 40 years they wandered, and 100% of the people died except for Joshua and Caleb.
Yeah.
And I think it was God's plan to get rid of the slave mentality so that the liberty-loving people, as Dutch says, the holy cause of liberty, those guys were left. They went into the promised land. All of the other ones, they died off.
You're right there. Well, that's the end of the hour, Steve. I'm going to leave it with that. Contact me, email me if you didn't get the flyer already. I'll make sure you get it, dutch@dutchjones.info, dutch@dutchjones.info. We're only doing an hour today because we got Bible study tonight. And we are here as a beacon. We're calling out. It's a clarion call. We want to train people. What you got to do is have a faithful heart, willing to fellowship, and show up. So until next time. Yes, thank you, Steve. And remember, abolishislam.com, abolishislam.com, abolishislam.com. Check it out. And we'll be back tomorrow with Pastor Warren Mark Campbell, and I think he's going to do something on the slave mentality on Practical Christianity. Thanks for tuning in.